on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. The boys, we've got a full crew in now. Say hey, boys.
Yep. Evening.
Hello.
We've got a busy show on this evening also. Coming up in the next round, we'll hear from our amateur all-star team of the week, and that's coming from all the way down in what we call here in West Yorkshire, Mordor, down in Lancashire. It's actually Wigan St. Pat, so we'll be hearing from that amateur team of the week. We'll be hearing from the boys with their 30-second blast on something from the world of rugby league. Third segment, we're giving over to your questions. It's all over to you guys. You've been hitting us up with questions all week long. We'll be discussing them equally. If you're watching on social media right now live, then just toss a question in here and we'll deal with it. But remember, this is a family show. And final segment of this show, we'll be looking at the upcoming games this weekend and figuring out who's going to take control of our leaderboard. So, but first, let's catch up with the boys. Yep. Good evening, lads. Bradford Bulls back on the road to winning.
Yep, because I picked up my mic and started the old match.
You know what?
Pulse 2.
We were in company on Friday. When were we? Last week at the Bradford Sports Awards. What did I say to them?
Yeah, you
did. I said to the powers that be, so Ross is there representing the team as a player, and the rest of the table representing the Bradford Bulls was obviously the Bradford Bulls hierarchy. And I said to them, you know, the problem that you've been having over the past couple of weeks is that you haven't let Ross do the calling.
Yep.
He's a guy in the know. He's a good luck charm. He calls the games. You win the games.
Yep, me and the game caller, picked up the mic again and we got 2 points. So, yeah, it's down to me, really. So,
Always. So, tell us about the game. You guys were both. We're at Wakefield's game, both me and Aaron. Yeah. But you guys tell us about.
Same weather. It was absolutely freezing. It was ridiculous. You know, because we're on radio, we have to start at like 2. So, now before kickoff, and I was just sat there freezing. I could hardly speak, to be honest. But, yeah, it were a good game. The boys did well, really. And, yeah, executed from minute one to 80, yeah, controlled it. So,
obviously, you weren't playing because you busted your nose last week.
Yeah.
So you had to take a week off to get your snoring sorted out, sleep apnea. It's one of those games, though, because of the weather the way it is, you're kind of glad you didn't play, especially when you win. Like, if you lose, you feel a bit gutted because you know you could have added something. But when the team still comes away with a win, well, I don't know. I'm putting words in your mouth. How did you feel? How did you see the game go? What were the strong points? What were the weaknesses? But equally, you not being a part of it.
Yeah, it was kind of hard not being a part of it. I don't miss many games. I'm quite proud of my record. I don't really miss many unless it's through an injury. So it's quite frustrating watching. And obviously, I think because the lads won, I'm obviously glad that they won. But now it makes it even harder for me to get back in the team. So, John, you know, to change a winning team is going to be tough.
Yeah, but he plays about 10 positions. So,
hopefully that's on my side.
If you're front row and there's 18 front rows, then it's tough to get in the team.
No, but yeah.
But when you're an injury-struck team like the Bulls are, still travelling at the moment.
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean.
It's hard, sensation it's as hard well, to you
change,
know what I mean?
It's hard to change a winning team, isn't it?
Look at him, be humble. Look at him.
But back to the game.
you know what the weird thing, though? So when you're injured and you've got an arm injury, shoulder injury, leg injury, ankle injury, you can actually feel the injury. But isn't it weird when it's like your nose? Well, you know that you can run, you could tackle, but it's just something on that sticks out of your face.
Yeah, I felt soft, but it's because my breathing really. I couldn't breathe. Can't breathe.
Sleep apnea. I was telling you.
People are saying, "Oh, you look all right. Why are you playing?" I was like, "Yeah, well." It's a bit deeper than that, isn't it? But back to the game, it were just awful conditions, and on Batley as well with that hill. We were uphill first half, and we went in 16 nil up.
We were downhill first half.
So we had the advantage really in the first half.
And the wind was at your back, I'm guessing, because where we were stood at Wakefield, it was coming.
So they were coming up the hill the first half, and their yardage kicks were not even, they're getting to like our 40 metre line, and our back three were catching on the full and starting off in pretty much good ball. So Obviously, then in the second half, that flipped, but we did really well. We only conceded one try in that second half.
I've always found when you're playing on, you know, because Featherston's quite similar as well.
Yeah.
When you're playing on those hills, it's much easier to get your timing on your passing there going up the hill than it is when you're going down there. Because one thing, like some forwards that you'd expect to start a little bit slower to get their momentum going, they're right on the... You've got to kind of rush the pass. And equally, if you're given a longer pass, you have to really time that. It's really weird. I found it really weird. The weather, though. What part did the weather... Because this time of year is always weird. You in the one day, you got snow in the morning.
Yeah.
Sunshine. During the game. Snow, sleet, sunshine. And when the sun come out, it's warm.
Yeah, it was that crazy hailstone and what summed up for me. But Conor Farrell, you know, he's a tough geezer. He's a tough lad, and he was stood there saying, "Surely we can't play in this. Surely they've got to call it off." Because it was ridiculous, that side of the hailstone. I couldn't believe it, mate. It was sunny second half.
You
so
guys
like,
don't know
oh,
what
mate.
You're talking about. When I first got to this country, the first two seasons were in winter.
The ground
froze. And Oddsall, man, that was one of the grounds that was not. Because you know how the cold drops?
Yeah.
And Oddsall used to freeze all the time. So you start the game off and it'd be. And they never call a game off, you know, once it's kicked off. It's that you got 80 minutes to get through it. But the ground would freeze in the opening 40 minutes. First time I ever played on that, run onto the field. And I wondered why everyone was playing touch and pass. No one was getting tackled. And it was honestly like hold until, you know, the kid that doesn't really know anything, the ignorant kid comes onto the field, goes sprinting at a million miles an hour, slide on top of the surface, got up and half my legs were still on the ground.
Yeah.
Just grazes. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Okay, fast forward. Good win under the belt. 2 points back on the board once again. But a tough game coming up this weekend against Widnes.
Yeah, obviously they've been through some financial problems. Obviously that's been sorted now, and they've recently come down from Super League. Good squad. Some well-known players in there, so be a good test, big test on their patch as well. So we need a big following by the Bulls fans. Make it feel like a bit of a home away from home.
Aaron, you know a little bit of the politics and the things that can upset the apple cart, so to speak, in regards to some players that have continued on with the club, subs that have just been basically tossed out. How is that impacting on the club? And equally, how do you think that they're going to be over this next period?
Seems like it's brought them a little bit closer together. I guess Ross could probably testify to that as well, that sort of spirit that sort of galvanises you. It feels like it's you against the world. Everyone's sort of up against you. You don't know if you're going to get paid and things like that. And it can just sort of create a little bit of a band of brothers vibe. They've lost a few players, but we were just looking at the team before we came on air. Still really strong in the pack. Maybe a little bit lighter in the outside backs, but big physical team on that pitch as well. I think it'll be a game that hopefully suits Bradford. You know, shouldn't be a slow game. Should be nice, open, nice, fast game. Fingers crossed to go over and get the job done, but it'll be a big crowd. You know, Widnes fans have come out in support since the old board have gone, so probably another 6,500 crowd with a big following from Bradford. So it'll be another great advert for the Championship, and I think it's been streamed on the RFL's thingamy bob, innit?
I think it's been confirmed today that it's going to be streamed, that's great
so
work.
So you can watch that on the app and stream the commentary from Pulse 2.
Yep. Right, and you'll hear the game caller, and you'll hear Ross Peltier once again.
Yep.
The good luck champ.
Yep.
Elliot, you're looking to be back in contention for that game. Injury's not going to hold you back for
Yeah, hopefully, now. Trained last night, yesterday, and feel good. So if I'm selected, I'll be playing.
Okay, fast forward to last night. We did the cup draw.
Yep.
Bradford Bulls. First out of
good
the first.
Draw.
I drew the first.
The Ross Peltier derby.
I first pulled first team out of the bucket, and what comes out? Keith Lee.
Yep.
Simon Foster, the son of the great Trevor Foster, reaches in. The first ball he pulls out is number 3, the Bradford Bulls. And you know what? All the Bulls fans, and there was obviously a big, it was up at Oddsall where we did the draw. All the Bulls fans were all saying to me, home draw, come on, Robbie, home draw. And they weren't unhappy.
You know what it is? Like witnessing that, they've had a hard time, you know, financially and all this. And it's a great way to put some money into the club, do you know what I mean? It's a Bradford derby. Last time it was packed out, it'll be packed out again. Yeah, it's a good advert. I'll be turning up in like my crown fur coat and that, mic in my hand, mic in my hand, ready to
with a swagger.
But it's a good draw.
With a gangster limb.
It's a good draw. You know, I've seen like what a lot of people in Keighley are saying, and you know, that it's the same old, not the same about Bradford. But yeah,
it'll be a good draw for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I actually seen people saying you shouldn't let Poulsen that turn up and try to do commentary and all this. You shouldn't let him do all this, but I thought
why
they're building like a Ross Pelly game across.
That's what I mean. It's building the game across Bradford.
What about the week of their game actually going down to Cougar Park and doing the RHP show from them?
Protection for us.
Yeah, I'll do it.
What do you reckon?
Well, I don't know if they've got internet in Keighley, did they? I don't have internet in Keighley, did they? Won't be able to do it. I mean, just still on gas lights and that.
Ross won't be coming to that live show.
But no, good draw, yeah. Strong draw, so it'd be entertaining for the city.
I'm sure it will be. All right, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back from the break, we're going to be hearing from the Amateur All-Star Team of the Week. The boys are going to wax lyrical for 30 seconds about a topic of their choice from the World of Rugby League. And actually, we still have to address... No, we'll do that in the final quarter, addressing the leaderboard table that we do have, because it was a shocking round for most. But many actually powered back in this week. But before we go to the break, let's have a look at the roads.
Live on 1278 and 15:30 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Kia ora and welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Pelty, Ali Minchella, and Aaron the Power Bauer. And we're up to that time for the All-Star Amateur Team. And this week, it's all the way from Wigan, St. Pat's.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
My name's Sarah Harrison. I'm the head coach of Wigan St. Pat's Under 8. I've been there. I was a former player of Wigan St. Pat's ladies team, which I was part of for 6 years, and I've took on this role now. I've been with them for 3 years. So our ambition this year is to have fun, which is always a big part of it, and to try and promote Wigan St. Pat's. You can contact us via the social media, which is Wigan St. Patrick's RL, and they can contact us via Twitter, and they can contact our team manager, they can contact myself. Teams in Northwest Counties, every day with them kids, it's just I've had a bad day or anything like that. They always seem to just put a smile on my face. We've got loads of different like characters in the team, and they just make me laugh every day, and they make me smile, and I'm just so proud of them. So just everyone get behind Wigan St. Pat. It's a great club to be around. It's a really strong family unit, and they're just really, really good. From like I said, we've got kids coming from the age of 4 straight through to open age, and it's really, really good. And I think the kids really look up to me, because obviously I play in the Women's Super League, which for Wigan Warriors, and it's always nice to have a female coach.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
And there you have it, the Team of the Week, and that is Wigan St. Pat's Under 8. Over to you three guys this time. 30-second challenge. You get to wax lyrical about absolutely anything you want around the sport of rugby league. And I think everyone's pointing at Aaron to go first. So there you go, Aaron. Let's fire away.
1895 Cup. Best innovation to happen to rugby league in years. Lower league clubs get a chance to play at Wembley. Nice curtain raiser for cup final. Get a nice big crowd in, except one thing. It's going to be played after the cup final. So all you fans who've gone down to watch Challenge Cup final, all 70,000 fans, at least half of them are going straight after full time because the team's lost. Rest of them are all going to be sticking around to watch the team lift the cup while the second game's probably starting. We were saying Pelsey's going to be running length at field at Wembley, scoring for Bradford in 1895 cup final while everyone's watching Wigan lift cup. Ooh. Stupid mistake. Someone said today to me on Twitter, rugby league's priceless at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, great innovation, 1895 Cup. Best thing to happen to the sport in years. And you go and play the game. You go and play the game after the main event. Like, no disrespect to these boys, but the cup final's the main event. Get the 1895 Cup final on before. Loads of people will turn up early to watch it. There'll probably be 25,000 in there, 30,000. Bad move.
Also, there's a women's final on before the Challenge Cup.
No, that's semi-final, isn't it?
What?
Semi-final.
A women's semi-final.
No, yeah. I think the women's final is played
before the semi-final.
Before one of the semi-finals.
I thought it was on before the main.
The traditional schools final. Then obviously we've got the final, and then they're playing the 18-9. I know the pain. I agree with it, but the innovation needs to happen, but I think it's a time frame in which it's been discussed actually needs to be reviewed. I think their hands, as I understand it, their hands were tied by Wembley itself.
Surely they knew this before they started the Cup.
Surely. Yeah.
Surely they knew the time and
I would reckon no. If you think of the upheaval that's gone on between the Super League, the RFL, basically what was one organisation has been ripped into two. Yeah. Resources, talent, management teams, staff have been gone in, has been driven in the two directions. I don't work for the RFL. I just get a little bit of a look behind the scenes, and you then have to replace all that talent. So you've got sort of like 50% of the marketing teams are working for both organisations, and all of that needs to be replaced. So when that happens is when they're trying to come up with these new innovations and developing and getting around the issues of what we had in 2018, which was perceived to be a bit of an empty stadium. So how do we do that? Well, the innovation of 1895 Club. I like the idea. I think that will definitely be under review as to when they play the final, but we're just going to have to suck it up. Would you rather not? You too.
I'd still want to play there.
Exactly.
I still.
Would your fans rather not?
I play there by myself. No one watching. I'm not. It's a once in a lifetime thing. So either way.
Who gets the chance to run out on that amazing stadium?
So you did a few times.
I did a couple of times, but
hat trick.
Yeah, but it's that, and I can. And what I'm trying to say is, it's special. Yeah. And I've played in championship trophies. I've played in when I was an amateur. Amateur player, it means as much. It's exciting. Yeah. It means as much. You don't get many finals to play in.
Yeah.
So plan it.
Hopefully, if we get there, Arthur Bradford will fill it out anyway.
That's
before
right.
Before or after kickoff. So
that's it. That travelling army once again.
Yeah.
You know, it would be really, if the Bulls fans did what they've done in so many other stadiums and the bigger event becomes about after the final, after the cup final, the Coral Challenge Cup final. Okay, time on. Who's up next?
So I'll go.
So we've got Pouts. Great point, by the way, Aaron. I think it's a great talking point, and it's going to be something we're going to be discussing all season long. But over to Ross. Just fire away, Ross.
I think we should get longer off and start the games later, like around now. Because when we started games, round six now, 6 weeks ago, the weather's been horrible. The style of rugby's been horrible. We've been playing a mud bath every week. Why don't you just give us a bit longer off? And then we can actually play. So it's a summer sport, but you know what I mean? We started in the middle of winter, so it's just silly for me. I say longer off season, give us more time to rest, and then start games a bit later, because the pitches are just—it's just horrible. Oh, that first game against Feather Oddsall, that was disgusting. Against Bartlett, disgusting. To lose, disgusting. Yeah, start later, then you get a bit better weather. I think we start too early. Yeah.
So I played an era where we actually did play summer rugby.
Yeah.
It was a limited amount of teams, and you actually didn't start till I think end of March or early April.
Yeah.
In spring.
I think
Elliot,
start
you
there.
Feel the same way?
Yeah, big time. It's especially for me. It's for these bigger fellas, it's all right, but it's just that when the weather's like this, it's just so one-dimensional rugby.
Yeah.
It's not entertaining for fans to come and watch, in my opinion, compared to watching a game in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Aaron, it's not enjoyable to sit in the freezing cold with kids and stuff like that. I just think it appealed to everyone starting 6 weeks later, and the weather's a little bit better.
An example of that in the Wakefield Hawke game?
Disgusting. Awful game. No one wants, I think first, you saw it last year, didn't you? It snowed in February. Games got called off. Games got affected. First two or three weeks this year, first three or four weeks, weather's actually been quite mild, so the rugby's been pretty good. But last weekend was, a reminder what it can be like in February and March. And I don't know. I think we need to play less games. I agree with Ross. You've got to make it work financially. You can't just cut money out of the game and cut down the amount of games. So you've got to find a way, but there is a way. But I don't want to be sat in a stand in February watching rugby as much as anyone. Yeah, and I'm saying a March start.
And they want to boost the international game, like players for me who play international. Do you know what I mean? Technically, you've got like a week, 2 weeks off. But before pre-season starts again, obviously John were good and give me extra time off, so I've had the same amount as everyone else. But I know a lot of lads like Ashton Golding and a few lads when they land Ben Jones Bishop, when we landed from America, they had to go straight to pre-season and start the day we landed. So they had no off season, no time to go with your family or no. I think from a player welfare standpoint,
we're going to need to go all the way to 2021 when the new TV rights deal, potentially more money and the clubs. And looking at ticket sales as the lifeblood for the organisation.
You never know. Mate, hopefully, but you never know.
Yeah, and then there's all these extra cups as well, cup competitions, Challenge Cup, 1895 Cup. Got games coming out of our ears, Robbie, this year.
We have. And I love rugby league. I love it. I could watch it till I die. So I think that's all good. All right, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, it's all about you guys. You guys are going to be asking the questions. We're actually going to hear from Minnie's 30-second blast in the final segment because I'm not going to miss him out. But stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. Live on 1278 and 1530 AM. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Kia ora and welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios in the studio with Aaron the Power Bauer, Elliot Minchella and Ross Peltier. This segment's all about you guys. You've been firing in questions, and I'm just having a little bit of a giggle to myself because obviously when you're doing this interactive type stuff, especially when it's live, you can get caught out like our mate Dave Woods did over the course of the weekend. I can't say the outcome. But well, I was just thinking, if any of you guys at home that are watching on social media started putting in stuff like that, I'm more than likely, you know what I'm like, likely to read it out. So don't. That does not mean I'm encouraging you to do that. So straight on to your questions. So if you've got any questions, if you're looking at social media, just fire a question in. If not, doesn't matter. We've got questions anyway. Actually, there was a question a little bit earlier on, and this came from Harry Jeffrey 9, and that is, Elliot, how's your nose? But I think you covered that.
Yeah, I covered that.
You'll be back playing this weekend, Harry Jeffrey.
30-second thing.
Okay. Is that what he's going to talk about? Is 30 seconds? No, I wouldn't leave that as a final segment.
All right.
This is all about the fans. Neville Chamberlain.
That name rings a bell, old Prime Minister.
Well, I don't know if that's been written correctly. Neville Chamberlain.
Well, it's definitely not the Neville Chamberlain, is it?
Yeah.
Not, anyway, that'd be interesting. From back from the dead.
Not really.
So the topic to discuss for the boys tonight, are Huddersfield Giants going to get relegated this season? And I think the general oversight or overview question you're looking at, well, who's going to get relegated this season?
So let's
address Huddersfield now, how they're playing. Coming off the back of a win away at Wigan. Let's discuss that, and then obviously who your front runners are for relegation this year.
I'm a bit biased because I had a good few years there. Hopefully they don't get relegated. I hope they don't get relegated because, you know, I'm old enough to remember the times we're in and out of Championship often. But hopefully they don't return back to them times because they got a good ground, a good club. But it's one of them. It's that. That last spot, everyone's dreaded it now because you're instantly gone. There's no safety net this year. There's no games to play. If I beat Fairford, I beat London. I must say, but yeah, so interesting. Hopefully they don't. They spent some money this year as well, so hopefully they don't. But
so on that note, then, if you're hoping that they don't, there's obviously got to be someone that's going to bite the bullet.
Wigan,
Leeds.
Throw that out
Nah.
From Wigan, Leeds,
Millwall. From World Club.
Yeah, London have started quite well. They've got a few wins in the belt, so I can't call it yet.
London are going.
Okay. Well, that's not the name of the game.
Who's round that bottom? Who's round that bottom now?
Bottom three at minute, all on 2 points, at Wigan, Leeds and Huddersfield. And then London are on 4.
Everyone's had a win.
I'd bloody love it if Leeds went down. But nah,
can we just apologise for the use of profanity there?
Kevin Keegan tipped to the answer. Kevin Keegan there. Hopefully Leeds, but nah, probably
he
London.
He said worse. Yeah. We've had worse on this show.
Hopefully London.
So go on, Elliot, your thoughts on first Huddersfield and the team that you think most likely to go down if it's not Huddersfield.
Well, I think it's clear for everyone to see that they are struggling. Yeah. I know they beat Wigan away, which is a great win, don't get me wrong. So that might be an upturn for them in form. But prior to that game, it didn't look good for them at all. You know, with that, I think the selection of the team, their halfbacks, you know, everything's just changing every week. The fullback Scott Grick's easing in and out, and you know,
it's a brand new spine of the team, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think the only one that's there is Cruz Leeming. And O'Brien. They're the only two players that have sort of like been solidified, because Lee Gaskell's sort of a little bit at fullback,
he's in and out.
Standoff, played centre, a little bit here, there and everywhere. But you've got Jordan Turner in there playing in the team as well, so there are numbers. New fullback, obviously. So the spine and a new halfback partnership as well. So the spine of the team still has to come together. They've got some great strike.
I think it just might take a bit of time for them to gel. But whether they've got that time, like Ross said, there's no get out this year, is there? There's no safety net. It's the best out of 27 rounds, is it? So they can't wait, or they can't bank on, or we'll be all right in the middle eights, whatever it is. That's not there anymore. So I think if they don't start picking up a couple more wins, I think they could be in trouble. But yeah, I'm not very confident. Huddersfield, for some reason,
I
am not relegating Huddersfield Giants. I'm just saying, I'm not very confident of them. But with the start of the season, they're bottom of the table for a reason, aren't they?
Okay.
You can see why teams are sweating.
I think a decent team and a team playing in form would have put 20 or 30 on Wigan on Friday night. Wigan were atrocious. They should have been 30-0 down by half-time, Wigan, on Friday night. But Huddersfield just aren't playing well at the minute. And I think, while you're right that they have got some strike, poor recruitment for the last few years is catching up with them now. It's all right signing Uarte and pairing him with McGilvery on the wings, but you need a bit more. You know, I just don't think they've recruited very well in the last few years. You got to look on what we've seen so far. We've played 6 games or 6 weeks. Is Frawley looking any better than Rankin or Brough? I'm not so sure. Don't get me wrong, when the grounds dry up and the tracks firm up, he might look good. They've got a problem in the sense that I think Gaskell's a really, really, really good halfback, but unfortunately, he struggles with injuries. They can't quite get him fit on a regular basis. I don't think they'll go down, because I still think London will go. I still think that, but someone was saying the other day that between now and Easter, Huddersfield play London twice. So if London get even one of those two, you know, Huddersfield will start to look like they're in trouble. That said, Leeds London is an interesting one on Friday night as well, because if London do the unthinkable and win at Leeds, Huddersfield are in trouble and Leeds are in massive trouble. But it's probably too early to say, but if you're asking us to put his neck on the line, I think they'll be safe, but not by a lot.
So who do you think is still front runners for their relegation?
I think London are still front runners to go.
I would love if London stayed up, just to see like one of them clubs, like a club who's always been so pleased for years. Get that shot.
You just mean Leeds, don't you? You just mean Leeds.
Or Wigan.
Imagine if Wigan did it. That would be somewhat.
I don't know. I still think
they stared down the barrel. What year was it? 2008?
2006, and they bought Field and didn't they? And then got adjudged a break in Salicat. They did. I think London will still go. They've caught a couple by surprise early on, but I think they've probably lost that element of surprise now. London.
Okay. Yeah, well, look, I think they've got enough strike. I think they're still coming together, and it's amazing. I think this weekend's game is a really big game for them. It's to see how they perform. It's amazing what a single win can do to pull things together. Gives you a little bit of confidence, puts a little bit of wind in your sails, and they've got enough strike in their team. It's, again, for me, it's that spine of the team. It's the fullback, the hooker, and the halves role. Need to get that right. Need to get that swing in and release that talent that they've got on edges and in the middle of the park. Matangi, great signing. Uarte, great signing, and they had already a host of great signings, but how they come together. I think they're missing Brough. I'll say that. I think they're missing Brough. He marshalled them. He took a lot of the responsibility. Yeah. And one of the halves now, whether Gasky or the new lad, they have to stand up. Mm. All right. So on to the next question. Richard Smith, what means more, to play for your club or your country?
Well, I'm someone who has the pleasure to do both. I don't know. It's different. It's different because obviously I'm a Bradford lad, and obviously I'm a proud Bradford lad. I've supported Bradford from a kid, so every time I play in a Bradford jersey, it's a massive thing for me. But then, you know what I mean? I just took Jamaica to a World Cup, and that was a huge thing. And seeing what that means to everyone back there, I can't call it. I really couldn't call it, because if I played for a different club other than Bradford, I'd probably say international.
Country.
Yeah, but because I play for Bradford, I can't split it.
Well, you could say that you would say that, but you play for Bradford, but if you're playing, your club would be listening and they wouldn't be too happy with you.
Yeah, but still, I'd say, oh, we're going to World Cup and all this, so everyone would be like, yeah.
Of course, you're Peltier, so.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's one of them, like, obviously, when I was young, I've been to Jamaica a lot. My grandparents used to live there, used to go a lot. So I've got a lot of ties and I feel connected back there. So, yeah, I don't know.
Elliot, club or country?
It's hard for me to say because I haven't played for my country. I've played
conceptually, then?
An academy level. But, no, just probably... you have to say your country, I think. I think you get paid to play for at club level. And it's fair to say that you don't really... you don't get paid for your international. It's more of an honour, isn't it?
Mm.
Play for international and represent your country. So, yeah, I'd probably say country. Not that I'm saying playing for Bradford doesn't mean a lot to me. That's not the point. I just think playing for your country is the pinnacle of any sport.
Aaron, just quickly.
Oh, I haven't done either, have I?
Run for his country.
Yeah, but you know what it should mean, the spirit of athleticism.
I think I'd rather play for my country, probably. Mm-hmm. It's the highest... Yeah. Honour, isn't it? You know, the biggest honour you can receive. Like, you saw it in Ross when Jamaica qualified, what it meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've got to be country. There's so many clubs, but you've only got one country, haven't you?
100%. I got into playing professional sports because I wanted to play for my country. That was it, black and white. And the strength of international rugby has to be the players buying in. What would make it even stronger is if the clubs bought in as well.
Yeah.
Just a quick, final quick question. This is from Spencer Percival. Just name your favourite ground to play at in the entire world. So, your favourite game to ground to play at.
Easy, Oddsall.
Headingley.
Never played anywhere. So,
favorite game to ground to be at.
Probably Headingley under the lights. Yeah.
What? Club level. Headingley. Absolutely love Headingley.
It just is good to play there.
But Otto, obviously a home team, but equally probably my favorite ground was always Wembley. All right, we're going to go to a break now. Before we do, let's have a look at the roads.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. In this part of the show, we're going to be looking at the upcoming games this weekend and our picks, and we'll also have a look at our leaderboard also. It wasn't the greatest round. But before we do that, let's hear our 30-second rant from Elliot Minchella.
My rant is about... I believe we should have a compulsory reserve grade. It's something we spoke about on the show before, and I think there's too many lads who miss out on professional rugby league week in, week out. They were in that age group of too old to play academy rugby and probably not established themselves to break into first team squads. I've seen a lot of people going on about it the last couple of weeks, and there's too many lads who just sit and don't play rugby every single week. We've got a few in our squad who are too young to play under-19s, and if they're in a reserve grade game, they don't play. And this could go on for 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, because there's not many teams who have reserve grades. We was meant to play Wakefield last week in the reserves, and that got cancelled, so some of those boys went without a game. Some people haven't played in our squad since pre-season, and it's now March. I just think that's ridiculous. So I think it should be compulsory. Never mind getting marquee players or having that rule. Why not put 100 grand spare for every team to have a reserve team and make a comp.
Mm. You know what the real argument here is to actually someone do the research and find out whether or not the reserve grades helps in the development of homegrown players. Because ideally, that's what you want. You want homegrown players coming in because it's easier for homegrown supporters to connect to. There's more narratives that will be able to be built around that. And because we don't have the financial muscle of what they do in the other codes or down under, it means that we'll have a bigger talent pool to choose from.
I played reserves a lot. That's all I played until I was 21. I played reserves all the time. I played, you know, played with some great players. We'd played against great players, and it was one of them. I was in the first team. I got a few 18 mans, but then we don't really want to send you on loan because we want a competitive reserve. So I played there till I was 21, and it was one of the best times ever because you're playing week in, week out. You know, you're wearing the team you play for, sure, you know, and I feel there was a lot of good talent to come from that.
You know what I think it really boils down to in sport, especially in the sport in this country. I think it obviously it's money, but I think the concept is that you need to win.
Mm.
Your club needs to win, and it's such a weak foundation to build your business model on, you know, and. Well, what I'm talking about is there can only be one winner. In a game, there's one team's going to lose. But in a competition, which is what you've built your dream, your aspirations on, there's only ever going to be one winner. So all of the money, so where I'm coming from with this was there used to be a reserve grade. The competition here, there was always a reserve grade team, an A team, as they called it at the time. So it was under 19s, every club had an A team, and then you had the first team. And that's what it was all about. And then what happened was the money didn't rise. The funding didn't get bigger, but the wages got bigger because expectation and the other marketplaces like rugby union and down under started paying more. So they started taking the resources out of the A-team game and they were putting it into the first team players to keep that. But again, it's a very short-term model.
Mm.
They were supposed to get around that with the licensing system in the Super League, but what teams were doing were just basically flopping off the final half of the season.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that come down to the same old thing again. It comes down to money. I think if the teams had the money, had the excess resources, and then it was implemented that you had to put in the first team because it was based on hard data that there was going to be, you're going to get a better competition and better homegrown players, then that'll happen.
Well, it was sponsored heavily when I remember my days reserves, you know, Man at Match used to get like a watch, then sometimes Man at Match used to get like Gillette, get like a big thing Gillette. Used to get all sorts of
They had Tissot watches.
Yeah,
watches
you had them watches
cool
and stuff for getting a Man at Match and reserve
Henry
game and stuff.
Had about 20 of them.
Lads used to be buzzing off that.
Henry was selling them down the market.
Yeah, so I don't know whether we need sponsors or whatever.
Okay, so let's look at the upcoming games this weekend. We've got as the first game for us to pick from Castleford at home to Red Devils. Red Devils absolutely went across to Catalans after them beating Warrington the week before and absolutely smoked Catalans 46-0, 44 points to nil, something like that. So let's have it. Cass at home to Red Devils.
I like
Devils.
A risky one, so I'm going Salford. I'm going Salford because, I like a little.
I'm playing it safe. Cass at the Jungle.
Why is it safe?
I think. There'll be a bit of a backlash from the defeat at Warrington, and they're at home and they don't lose many at home.
Yeah, same. They always respond well. They don't tend to lose back to back very often, Castleford. So yeah, they play that pitch better than anyone. I'm going Castleford.
All right, I'm going to go Castleford as well. So we're going to send it back down the line this way. Hull KR, tough game, battled hard to win the game against Wakefield last week. They're playing against Catalan Dragons, but Hull KR at home. Catalan's woeful on the back of that.
Hull KR. Catalan's bad enough at home last week. They're usually poorer on the road, so Hull KR for me.
I'm going to go Catalan. I need to get some points back, so Catalan for the win.
Rolling the dice.
Yeah, after watching them play away at Wakey and then Salford Aberdeen, I've got to say Hull KR on that one.
I'm going to go with Catalan. I'm going to hope for a bounce back. I didn't see enough last week to really entertain me, and though the week before, I thought they showed some real nice touches against Warrington to Catalan. Okay, Giants at home to St. Helens.
St. Helens.
Yep, Saints.
Got to be Saints, unfortunately.
Well, you see, I'm
really comfortably.
My heart wants to say the Giants, but my head's going to say say St Helens. So we're going down to the lower divisions now. This should be an interesting game to look at this weekend in the championship in York guys' competition. York versus Halifax. What's your thoughts on that? We've still got a bit of time left, so give us some insight.
York have been doing very well. Obviously, they bit the beat us and have been picking up some results. Halifax had a bit of a shaky start. They're starting to come good now. So it's at York, though. That's a very tight pitch to play on. I'm seeing Halifax by around, not by much.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, that, because York beat Lee at the weekend by a point. 9-8, I think it was, at York. I'm going to go York.
I'm going to say York.
Yeah, the feeling with Halifax from the people who know him is that they were better last week, but they've not quite been on top form yet. So, tough place to go is York, and like Ross says, they know that pitch, they can play that pitch. I'm going to back York, I think.
I'm backing York as well. We're down to the last minute, last game. Scholars to the K-Town themselves. Both teams have won one, both teams have lost one. They're both on 2 points
each. It's down in London for Jermaine. Obviously, the Jamaica coach and a few of Jamaica boys play for Scholars. I'm going to back them lot. They're not a bad team down in London. So, yeah, I'm going Scholars.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go Scholars. It's quite hard going down there. Yeah, Scholars for me.
Yeah, patched up Keighley, aren't they? They've had to put a team together right at the eve of the season. Tough place, London Scholars away. Yeah, London.
Yeah, I'm going to back London Scholars also. And just have a look at that leaderboard. We've got Ross still out in front. Bad weekend, though.
Great weekend.
Bad weekend for Elliot.
The weather, some points back. He got 3 points. Aaron and Ross both got 1 point from five games, and I got 2 points. So it wasn't a great round all round.
It's how you finish, isn't it?
All right. That's up from us tonight. See you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.